po sa inyo lahat. And I would like also to recognize our friends and visitors from CRBC. Apat po sila, pero isa lang ang kilala ko, si Sister Perla. Yan. So sila po ay personal na bisita ni Ate Noni, dahil ang isa po sa mga kabataan dito ay sponsor ni Ate Noni sa CCM ministry. Welcome sa inyo. Nagpaalam ba kayo kay Pastor? Okay. Sige. So tayo po ngayon ay nasa bagong series ng pag-aaral. Last September, niloob po ng Panginoon na marinig natin isang series ni Brother Ruben sa New Testament. And today is the first Lord's Day of October. And gaya ng nabanggit ng ating kapatid na si Brother Ruben, October is the month of Reformation. In fact, this is the first Lord's Day of that particular month in which it is the 505 years. No? Remember, last 500 years, tayo po ang bilang isang iglesia ay nag-celebrate na ito with a big bang because we have our fundraising t-shirt campaign. Remember, yung ating 500 years t-shirt of Reformation. At nagbunga po yun. No? At because this year, ay pinagkaloob na po sa atin ng Panginoon ang property na ating ipinapanalangin for the last 14 years. But that is just phase one. No? The acquisition of the property is just phase one, and we are now in phase two, which is for the building construction of our property sa Kapitan Akong. No? Later on, baka si Brother Ruben, ang pagpe-pray niya, hindi lang puro Caloocan. Baka yung Marulas, Valenzuela na when we move next year, Lord willing, sa bagong municipality. At ito po ang aking hangad sa buwang ito, no, to have a three-part sermon series on chapter 3 of Isaiah, because this is the context, ito po ang preparation for may another series by November. Ang talaga pong inihahanda ko po is a sermon series in the book of Haggai, but this is very important, chapter 3 of Isaiah, or actually chapter 1, 2, 3, 4 of Isaiah, Ezra, nagaya ko kay Digon da Ezekiel siya. Ezra, kasi kung papansinin po ninyo, no, dito po sa Ezra, particularly in chapter 5, now the prophet Haggai and Zechariah. So, sa chapter 5 po, biglang lumabas si propeta Haggai. And yun po ang intention ko, no, magkaroon ng sermon series Haggai, pero sa aking pong paghahanda at pag-aaral, eh, lagi pong nakakabit itong Ezra. At nung aking tingnan at pag-aralan, Ezra chapter 3 ay the preparation, is the context for chapter 5 of Haggai. Kaya nga po, minarapat ko na dahil Reformation Month naman ngayon, ay hahanguin ko po ang aking teksto sa Reformation Month in line with Ezra chapter 3, at ikokonek ko po sa ating celebration as a Reformation Month dito. At this particular Sunday, October 2, it is the congregation committed to worship. Lord willing, next Sunday, October 9, the congregation contribution for the building temple. And October 30, the confessional thanksgiving of God's people. Yung October 16 po ay si Brother Ruben ang mangangaral dyan, and I encourage him to have a sermon again for Reformation. And then because his father, Pastor Andrew Saywell, will be here with us on October 16, at he wants to see his son preaching in Tagalog. Yun po ang request ni Pastor Andrew. And then October 23, we will hear Pastor Andrew Saywell with his British English sa October 23. Kaya tatapusin ko po ang aking sermon series by October 30 ng ating chapter na ito. Well, ang context po ng ating pag-aaralan sa umagang ito is in chapter 1, verse Jeremiah muna. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 20 to 24. This would be the context. You, my hammer, Jeremiah 51, verse 20 to 24, you are my hammer and weapon of war. With you, I break nation in pieces. With you, I destroy kingdoms. With you, I break in pieces the horses and his riders. With you, I break in pieces the chariots and the charioteer. With you, I break the peace of man and woman. With you, I break peace the old man and the youth. With you, I break the peace of young and man and young woman. With you, I break the pieces of shepherd and his flock. And with you, I break the pieces and the farmer and his team. With you, I break the pieces governors and commanders. And verse 24, I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea before the very eyes of the evil that they have done in Zion, declares the Lord. Paulit-ulit pong binabanggit yung salitang with you, I. Yung tinutukoy po ng Diyos dito na with you, He is referring to the prophetic, He's using Jeremiah as a prophetic, a prophecy na gagamitin niya ang si Haring Cyrus, no? The king of Medo-Persia, na siyang lulupig at tatalo sa Babylonian Empire. Remember, alam natin na bilang dahil po sa katigasan ng puso at ulo ng bansang Israel, ng particularly ng Judah, sila po ay hinayaan ng Diyos na sila'y malupig at masakop for 70 years. Inalis po sila sa Canaan, sa kanilang bayan, at they have been captives for 70 years. Pero nangako ang Diyos through Prophet Jeremiah. And what of those prophet ito? Na ipapinangako ng Diyos na sila'y ibabalik at gagamitin niya at kakasangkapyanin niya ang isang tao, at ito po si Haring Cyrus, para maganap at matupad ang kalooban ng Diyos, ang pangako ng Diyos. Now, let's go back to Isaiah. Zechariah. Yes. Woo! Sinimulan kasi ni Deacon Ray. Okay. Ezra chapter 1. Ano po sa makikita po natin dito sa Ezra chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, yung binasa po natin kanina sa 51, might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put in writing. Verse 2. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given all the kingdom of the earth, and he has charged me to build him the house of Jerusalem, in which, in Judah, whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with you, and let go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. So ito po, nakaroon na ng katuparan. At ito pong ating section na pag-aaralan, chapter 2, is the first wave of the Israel's return from 70 years of captivity. At gaya po ng pinrophesy, papayagan sila, kakasangkapanin ng Diyos si Cyrus upang lumpigin, talunin ang mga matitibay na mga bansa at kagaya ng bansang Babylonia. And in chapter 2 are the list of names. These are the list of names, the first batch na kung saan ay pinangunahan ni Zerubbabel ang deportation pababalik mula po sa Babylon pabalik sa Jerusalem. At kung mapapansin niyo in chapter 2 verse 64, tinataya daw pong 43,360 ang mga Israelitang nakabalik, plus yung 737 na servants and 200 singers. All in all ay kulang-kulang 51,000 ang unang-unang batch na bumalik dito po sa Jerusalem, na ang hangarin nila ay muling itayo ang templo ng Diyos. Kaya mapapansin po natin, dumating sila in the fourth month of the year. At here we see in chapter 3 verse 1 of Ezra, ay they are now in the seventh month. So nagpahinga sila for 3 months. And then in verse 1 of chapter 3, when on when the seventh month came, the children of Israel came in the towns, the people gathered in one man, as one man in Jerusalem. Here we see a congregation. A congregation committed for one very basic purpose. One primary and major purpose. And that is for worship. Kaya ngayon pong umaga, nais ko pong tingnan natin ang talatang ito, ang anim na talatang ito, sa tatlong bahagi. Una, the priority of the congregation to worship. Secondly, the pattern of worship, verses 2 to verse 4, verse 2 and verse 4. And thirdly, the person in worship, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Una, pansinin po natin ang the priority of the congregation, the priority of the believer. Si Zerubbabel ang leader ng pack na ito, makikita natin sa verse 1. Siya po at ang kanyang mga associates ay nagsimula na sa kanilang misyon, sa kanilang hangarin, kung bakit sila bumalik. Sila po ang kauna-unahang batch na babalik magmula sa Babylonia pabalik sa Jerusalem for the particular purpose. Ang sabi po ng talata ay they built the altar of the God of Israel. Also in verse 1, it is stated, the people gathered as one man. Nagkaisa-isa sila with unity of hearts and spirit. Nagkaisa sila. The word gathered, napakahalaga po ito sa Old Testament. Kadalasan po kasi, ang palagay ng marami, ang bansang Israel, ay sila po ay isang nation, but they are also a spiritual community. Pero hindi po lahat ng bayan ng members ng nation Israel ay naligtas o mananampalataya. Within Israel, there is the congregate. There is the assembly. There is the gathered people. Yun po ang reference ng Old Testament. This refers to the spiritual community of Israel. Kaya the word gathered, congregate, assemble, it refers to the spiritual community of Israel. Na gaya ng ating sinabi ng ating kapatid na Robert kanina sa ating kanyang pagpapawit, na sa bagong tipan, ito na po ang tumutukoy sa mga kalipunan ng mga mananampalataya. From the physical temple, it has now shifted to a spiritual temple which is the composition of believers. Ang binubuo po ng mga mananampalataya, these are regenerate believers. Sa kanila pong pagkakatipon, sa kanila pong pagpapasakop, sa kanilang tipanan sa isa't isa, sila na ngayon ang naging templo ng Diyos sa bagong tipan. Alam niyo po, ito pong ginawang ito ng mga ninuno, ng ating mga ninuno sa pananampalataya sa lumang tipan, ay napakahalaga. Sapagkat ang pagtatayo po ng altar sa lumang tipan, ay makikita po natin, wala pa po ang utos ng Diyos sa panahon ni Moses, nangyayari na ito. Remember yung aking pong previous series, bago po ang series ng Philippians ng buong buwan ng September? Tinapos ko po ang aking sermon series na From Adam to Noah, na kung saan si Noah, nung siya'y lumabas sa arko, magmula po sa 100 days na sila po ay palutang-lutang sa dagat, o sa mundo dahil sa baha, the moment na pinakawalan na o pumayag na ang Diyos at lumabas sila ng arko, ano ang unang-unang ginawa ni Noah? Genesis chapter 8 verse 20. Anong sabi doon? Upon coming out of the ark, Noah built an altar to worship God. The very activity, the first and foremost na paglabas niya sa arko, hindi siya nagsaya, hindi siya nagtutulog, natutuwa. Sa gitna ng nakikita niyang devastation, carcass, cadavers ng mga tao at hayop, he was able to transform the place of worship. Wala pa po yung utos ng patungkol sa pagsamba. And yet, they had an instinct already to build an altar for God. A thanksgiving na may walong kaluluwa ang in-spare ng Diyos at niligtas ang Diyos. Genesis chapter 12. This is the account na kung saan tinawag ng Diyos si Abraham from the land of Ur at dadaling siya sa land of Canaan. Ano pong sabi doon sa chapter 12? Pagdating ni Noah, ni Abraham sa Canaan, he built an altar for the Lord. Nung isugo ng Diyos si Moses kay Pero, nang sabihin ni Moses kay Pero, anong sinabi ni Moses kay Pero? Ang utos ng Diyos, let my people go and worship me. Alam niyo po, ito pong usapin ng pagsamba ay in the very fabric of every human being. Bago pa mahulog ang tao, bago pa bigyan ng Diyos si Adan ng kabyak at ng asawang si Eva, there are two already activities na ongoing. It's between God and Adam. And what are the two activities? Worship and work. As we go back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, na-establish dun the Sabbath principle, the worship, a time for spending God. And then in verse 15 of chapter 2, ano sabi dun? And man was put into the garden to work. Kaya sa aming mga viewers sa umagang ito, mananampalataya man o hindi, yan ang dalawang bagay you are built to made for. You are built for work and you are built for worship. The family is the third creation mandate. Doon na lang matapos noon, matapos ma-establish yung worship and work, saka lumikha ang Diyos ng helpmate para kay Adam. Kaya nga po, sa mga walang pamilya, you are still obliged as you were built by God to work and for worship. But Genesis 3 came. The distortion, the marred, ang kaguluhan ng lahat. Kaya nagkaroon ng false worship because of sin. Nagkaroon po ng spirit or kasalanan in relation to work. Idleness, laziness, tardiness, corruption in relation to work, it's all because of sin. Napakahalaga ang konsepto ng pagsamba sa buhay ng tao. Kay mananampalataya ka o hindi, ikaw ay may kakayahang sumamba. Sumamba ng tama o sumamba ng mali. But the very concept of work is already built in the very nerves and fabric of your skin and soul. It's just a matter of right or wrong na pagsamba. Kung babalikan natin ang the first four commandments of God, doon kitang-kita natin na ang konsepto ng unang apat na utos kagad ng Diyos ay may kinalaman sa usapin ng pagsamba. First commandment, have no other gods before me. Second commandment, you shall not make an idol. Binigay niya ang parameter sa taas ng langit, sa ibabaw ng lupa, sa ilalim ng lupa, sa ilalim ng dagat. Wala dapat maging anyo. Third commandment, do not use the name of God in vain. And fourth commandment, there is one day out of seven you ought to worship God. Sa mga katotohanang ito, mga kapatid, without any doubt, worship is the primary activity of a gathered church. You don't gather for politics. You don't gather for social concern. You don't gather for benevolence. Weekly, every Lord's Day, inaasahan ng Diyos na ikaw na isang mananampalataya ay gagawa ng isang gawain at tungkulin na alam ng Diyos na kaya mong gampanan unless you are providentially hindered. And that is worship. The congregation, the assembly of the local church, that is the primary design. First thing comes first is the matter of worship. Worship is the central, the major activity of God's people during the day. Hindi mo masasabing iginalang mo ang araw ng Panginoon kung hindi ka sumamba. Kung hindi ka naglaan ng oras at nag-google ng panahon para sa pagsamba. Sadly, our generation today have already lost that concept, biblical concept of worship. And they turned into entertainment and theatrics. I posted in my personal FB account yung pong statement ni Stephen Lawson. Ang sinabi po ay, worship is not entertainment of man, but an exaltation of God. At yung isang brother natin, nag-respond siya and I quote, an ounce of modification to a corporate church worship to make it more likable to a person is already going in the realm of man-made or man-centered worship. The sense of reverence, the sense of awe in worship are already lost in today's generation. It's all pomp and show, gaya ng binanggit kanina ng ating awitin. Bilang hamon at reflection, lalong-lalo na sa mga Christian parents, patuloy mo bang ini-instill sa iyong mga anak? Kahit ba sila'y grown up na, ang kahalagahan ng araw ng Panginoon? Sa inyong mga Kristiyanong magulang, is it really worship is the priority of your family activity when it comes, when Sunday comes? For Christian singles and Christian families, do you plan in advance where to attend and observe the Lord's Day during your family trips and vacation? Inilabas ka makailan ang holiday sa 2023. Probably many of you have already scheduled for an out of town or out of the country trips. But I challenge you as a Christian family, as a Christian single, as a Christian worker, do you plan where to attend and observe the Lord's Day during those family trips and vacation, if in case it falls in the Lord's Day? Bilang isang Kristiyanong manggagawa, bilang isang Kristiyanong estudyante, do you consider where to attend the church worship service kung sakaling ma-relocate ka ng trabaho o ng pag-aaral? I-evaluate mo at i-examine mo ang iyong sarili. Paano mo isinasagawa ang iyong sarili? I-examine mo at i-evaluate mo yung attitude mo pagdating sa usapin ng pananambahan. You are punctual in work, you are punctual in your school, you are punctual with the social gathering and events, but tardy and super late in worship time. It reflects kung paano mo binibigyang pahalaga ang gawain ng Panginoon. You are alive and energetic and vibrant during social events, concert, attending concert or watching your favorite basketball team. But you are so lukewarm and sleepy on church service. You are lukewarm in having fellowship with your fellow brethren. Mas mamatamisin mo pang ang makasama ang mga kaibigan at kasamahan mong hindi mananampalataya. Remember yung sinabi ni Brother Robin? friendship and fellowship. There's a great difference. Friendship with the unbeliever is just a meeting of two. While fellowship is a meeting of three. Between fellow believer and in the midst is God. Consider your ways. Yan ang hamon ni Haggai. That's the theme of Book of Haggai. This is just two chapters, but paulit-ulit niya binanggit, consider your ways. Have you considered your ways? Napag-isipan mo na ba kung paano ka mag-perform bilang isang mananampalataya? Ikaw na nagsasabi na isang mananampalataya, have you considered your ways in the aspect of worship? In the aspect of prayer? In the aspect of Bible reading? In the aspect of your giving and service for God through the church? May it be a challenge, mga kapatid, na dito makikita natin the priority of those Israelites, the first batch who had given the opportunity na makabalik, they come and gathered in one heart and mind. For what purpose? For the purpose of worship. Secondly, Ezra chapter 3. Nakita po natin dyan, they built the altar of the God of Israel. Secondly, pansinin po ninyo yung verse 2. Na ang sabi dyan, and they built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses. Mahalaga po yung phrase na yon. Napakahalaga ng phrase na yung as it is written in the law of Moses. Let me explain to you kung bakit napakahalaga po yung phrase na yan sa verse 1 na yan. Inulit po sa verse 4. And they kept the Feast of Booths as it is written. Bakit po napakahalaga yung verse na yan? Ba't binibigyang diin ko yan? Well, keep in mind, these are new generation of Israelites. Isang siglo o isang henerasyon at kalahati na ang lumipas. Diba? Ang isang henerasyon ay 40 years. Dalawang henerasyon, 80 years. 70 years silang nasa Babylon. Ibig sabihin, ito'y mga anak-anak na nung mga original na nataga Israel. They have been captive for 70 years. They have been deprived of their religious activities in Babylon. Therefore, wala silang idea kung paano sila sasamba. But look at these people. Pinili nila o hindi nila ginawa yung they inject and invent their own style of worship. O kaya collaboration. Sige, uso naman yan eh. Diba? Sa music ganyan eh. Diba? Artists do collaborate. At maganda yung nagiging outcome ng ibang mga collaboration in the realm of music, in the realm of arts. So yung ganung konsepto, pilit na ginagagawin sa usapin ng pananampalataya. Ay, pag mix natin, i-join together natin yung Babylonian worship tsaka Jewish worship, now, eto, makakagawa na tayo ng pagsamba. Ganun ba ginawa nila? Hindi. And that's the second point of our sermon text. Not only the priority of the congregation to worship, but the pattern of worship. Yung pamamaraan ng pagsamba. And it is in these two beautiful phrases, as it is written. Look closely to this phrase. Huwag mong bibitawan ang phrase na ito. In fact, pag binitawan mo ang phrase na ito, you will miss the text. as it is written in the law of Moses. Meaning to say, hindi sila pwedeng gumawa ng mga bagay na paraan sa pagsamba, mga gawain at may kinalaman sa pagsamba sa kanilang sariling palagay, sa kanilang sariling kaparaanan, sa kanilang sariling gusto. Ang kanilang ginawa ay ayon at nakabatay sa sinasabi ng batas ng Diyos sa panahon ni Moses. Well, actually, this solidifies the regulative principle of worship in the Old Testament. And it reflects in the New Testament worship of God's people. Ano ang ibig sabihin ng regulative principle of worship? We worship according to what God says. Kung ano yung iniuutos ng Diyos. Sasambahin natin ang Diyos batay at ayon kung papaano at ano ang sinasabi ng kanyang salita. Again, the concept of regulative principle is in the building of the ark. Babalik ulit ako kay Noah. Wala pa si Moses, wala pa ang utos ng Diyos. Pero mapansin natin doon sa ating sermon series sa buhay ni Noah. Maingat na sinunod ni Moses ang direction na sinabi ng Diyos kung paano gumawa ng arko. Diba? Sabi ng Diyos, matapos mong magawa at mapagduktong-duktong yung mga kahoy na yan, pinturahan mo ng alkitran sa loob at labas. Sa tingin nyo, kung hindi pininturahan ni Noah at sumunod ang sinawa doon sa utos ng Diyos, dumating ang dulubyo, damay sila. Bakit? Papasukin ng tubig, baha, ang arko. In like manner, mapapansin po natin itong paggawa ng templo in the wilderness, ang sabi doon, as God instructed Moses. At ngayon, ito ngayon ang siyang sinutupad at sinusunod ng mga bumalik from Babylon. Now, in the New Testament, where's the instruction? Well, maliwanag yung ating pag-aaral dyan. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Turn your Bibles in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Anong sabi ni Apostol Pablo kay Timoteo? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you know how one ought to behave in the household of God. Sa gitna po ng talatang yan, sa naunang talata, mga instruction. Chapter 2, instruction about prayer. Chapter 3, instruction about office bearer, mga church leaders. Chapter 4, ano po dyan? Patungkol sa instruction sa mga false teaching. Chapter 5, instruction about widows. About chapter 6, instruction about the rich people in the church. So makikita po natin, they are directives. Kaya even in the New Testament, let us remember, New Testament worship is regulated by Scripture. Bilang aplikasyon at hamon sa atin, kinikilala mo ba na ang salita ng Diyos ang siyang dapat nagdidikta at nagtitimon at nagmamando sa gawain ng iglesia? We must reject man-made worship. It is not ought to be worldly concert like a musical experience for a self-satisfaction and for entertainment. Let the atmosphere of worship be in reverence and in awe. At yan ang mindset ng mga mananamba. Isang tanong sa'yo, kaibigan o kapatid, do you have hard time singing and worshiping God without the aid of instruments? Hindi ka ba kaawit ng a cappella? Bakit? Kasi your mindset is dictated with the instrument. You judge a singing, a worship based on instrument. Kung it is lively and pump, it gives you emotional boost. Iko-consider mo na ikaw ay nag-worship. E babalik tayo sa Old Testament. Nang lumabas si Noah sa arko, walang orchestra, walang instrument. Kada verse ang tumalubong sa kanya, nakakasulasulasok na amoy ng mga patay. And yet he was able to transform the place as worship. Why? Because of the altar. Hindi po kinukondisyon ng pagsamba. Sapagkat ang pagsamba ay nakaayon sa persona ng sinasamba. Worship is not about yourself. It's about the exaltation of God. Kaya nga, ang pagdating sa pagsamba, pumapasok ba sa iyo o patuloy mo bang iginigiit ang preference? O hinahayaan mong diktahan ang iyong pagsamba sa pamamagitan ng scripture? It must be scripture-driven ang ating attitude in worship. Once more, evaluate mo, i-examine mo ang iyong sarili sa mga katotohanan ito. And even a Reformed church such as like us, our mindset should be the historical motto, Ecclesia Reformata, Sempre Reformada, Secundum Verdi. The Latin expression that our Reformed church is always reforming according to the Word of God. Thirdly and finally, hindi lang natin makikita sa Ezra chapter 6 verse 1 to 6 the priority of the congregation to worship. Not only the pattern of worship, it is true as it is written, but thirdly and finally, the person in worship. Alam niyo po ba na sa buong lumang tipan at ang lahat ng mga handog na tumutukoy dito, particularly ang pinakabantog na handog na yung tinatawag na burn offering, yung pag-aalay, yung pagsusunog ng handog, it is an Old Testament sacrificial system na ito pong lahat ng ito ay tumutukoy at nagtuturo sa ultimate substitute, sa ultimate perfect sacrifice na magaganap at naganap na sa bagong tipan. Ito po ay ang sakripisyo ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo sa krus ng Kalbaryo. Turn your Bibles in Hebrews. Nais ko pong basahin ito sa Tagalog para mas lalong mas maliwanag at maunawaan natin. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 11 to verse 12. Verse 11. Ngunit nang dumating si Kristo na pinakapunong pari ng mabubuting bagay na darating sa pamamagitan ng lalong dakila at lalong sakdal na tabernakulo na hindi gawa ng mga kamay ng tao, sa kamakatuwid ay hindi sa sanlikhang ito. At hindi rin siya sa pamamagitan ng dugo ng mga kambing, ng mga toro, kundi sa pamamagitan ng kanyang sariling dugo, siya ay pumasok minsan magpakailanman sa dakong banal, sa gayoy tiniyak na walang hanggang katubusan. You see the text? Look at the text carefully. It is a comparison of an Old Testament ritual. Mga hayop, mga toro na binanggit dito, ng mga kambing na inihandog sa lumang tipan. Pero kakaiba ang paghahandog ni Kristo. Sapagkat ang sabi dito, ang kanyang paghahandog ay minsan magpakailanman. Once and for all. hindi po inuulit-ulit kagaya ng doktrina ng Roman Catholic Church that every time na magkakaroon ng misa, Christ is being slain and offered and sacrificed. But the Bible speaks us of one definitive act, the once and for all act, which is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kaya nga po, isa sa mga seven I am sayings ng Panginoon, di ba, sa krus ng Kalbaryo, it is finished. Tetelestai. Sa mga engaged po sa mga legal matters, sa mga legal works, kapag natapos na po ang isang affidavit, o natapos na po ang isang kontrata, o ang isang dokumento, hindi po siya fully tapos hanggat ano, may pirma, maganda maayos yung margin, tama? Tama yung vocabulary? Yung grammar? Hindi po dun. Natatapos ang isang dokumento sa dry seal. Pag sinelyuhan po ito, that is an expression that the transaction is completed. Kahit tama yung mga names na nakalagay doon sa dokumento. Pero kung wala itong dry seal, kahit pirmado na yan ng notary di public, kahit notarnado na yan ng abogado, ang hahanap-hanapin pa rin in legal basis is the dry seal. Alam niyo kung paano ko nalaman? Nakakalimutan ko magpa-dry seal. Hindi po tinanggap yung dokumento ko dahil wala yung dry seal nung nagnotaryo. Doon ko nalaman na ang isang dokumento ay tapos na kapag may dry seal. Ang kamatayan ng Panginoong sa Kristo, siya ang dry seal ng Kristiyano, ng katubusan ng ating mga kasalanan. At bilang aplikasyon at reflection sa atin, we must reject any mode of mediatorship other than Christ. It is not the church, it is not the Pope, it is not the priest, it is not Mama Mary nor the saint, patron saint. It is only by Christ alone. For Christ alone is our only prophet, priest, and king. Second lesson, we must ensure that our worship centers on Christ. It's not based on your feelings, on your experience. It must be based on the biblical awareness of sin, of judgment of God, repentance and faith. And every sermon must lead to Christ's redemptive work for the salvation as a gift of God's grace through faith. Exalting the triune God, exalting Christ, His person and work, dun nakasentro ang pananambahan. Kaya sa mga kaluluwang narito, bata man o matanda, sa mga nanonood, sumusubaybay sa aming live streaming, evaluate your worship. Is it centered on you? Na hanggat hindi tumatayo yung balahibo mo habang kumakanta ka, hindi sabi mo, hindi ako sumasamba. It's a false worship. But if your worship centers on Christ, I'm pretty sure your activity is a true worship. Worship is not exaltation of yourself. It is exaltation of God through Christ. Tayo manalangin. Dakilang Diyos, as we celebrate the Reformation Month, muli kaming bumalik sa Biblia, muling pahalagahan namin ang katuruan ng Biblia. Sapagkat sa pagsunod namin sa katuruan ng Biblia, hindi kami pwedeng magkamali. Kung papano, O Diyos, ang mga unang bayan sa Israel, ang unang batch ng pagbalik mula po sa isang 70 years of captivity, they have a pattern how to do it. Kahit kahit hindi nila nakita at napagmasdan kung paano sumamba ang kanilang mga ninuno, they were able to perform acceptable worship because they follow as it is written. Nawa, Panginoong Diyos, naway magkaroon ng reformasyon sa mga iglesia sa panahon ngayon, that they go back to the scripture, that their worship centers on Christ, person and work, at naway maitanghal si Kristo sa kanilang kalagitnaan. Ito po aming dalangin na may pasasalamat sa pangalan ni Kristo Jesus. Amen.